Hello, everybody. Today is January 14th. It's a Friday. I'm Bill Murphy here with the front pages. I'll be reading from the New York Times and the Hartford Current, taking a look at the pictures on the front pages of the papers. A picture of President Biden and of some of his other cohorts walking down the steps of the Capitol. This is inside the Capitol. Looks like Senator Schumer is leading the line there. The president is just about hitting the top step. I'm going to read the caption. It says, President Biden, after a Capitol Hill meeting on Thursday, and it says the Supreme Court and Senator Kyrsten Sinema dealt him to twin setbacks, and we will be having that story. I'll be reading that from the Current. Over to the Hartford Current, there's a picture of State Attorney General William Tong, and also with him is Consumer Protection Commissioner Michelle Siegel. They are announcing a nearly $2 billion settlement with student loan service, Navient. That happened on Thursday. I'm going to read a little more of the caption. It says, cash payments will go to thousands of student loan borrowers in Connecticut and elsewhere for debt relief after nearly $2 billion settlement with servicer. I will have that story for you. The picture is Mr. Tong in front of the microphones, gesturing, and behind him is the Commissioner Michelle Siegel. So we're going to get right to the stories. We'll start with the New York Times. I have one story about Omicron, and then we will go to the Hartford Current for the rest of our stories. At another bleak moment of the pandemic in the United States, with nearly 800,000 new cases a day, deaths rising, and federal medical teams deploying to overwhelm hospitals, glints of progress have finally started to emerge. In a handful of places that were among the first to see a surge of the Omicron variant last month, reports of new coronavirus infections have started to level off or decline. Daily case reports have been falling rapidly around Cleveland, Newark, and Washington, D.C., each of which sustained record-shattering spikes over the past month. There were also early signs in Chicago, New York, Puerto Rico, and hard-hit ski resort towns in Colorado that cases were hitting a plateau or starting to drop. The slowing of the spread in those places was welcome news, raising the prospect that a national peak in the Omicron wave may be approaching. But most of the country continued to see explosive growth in virus cases, with some western and southern states reporting 400% increases over the past 2 weeks. Officials also warned that hospitalizations and deaths lag actual infections, meaning that even in places where new cases have begun declining, it would still be weeks before the full impact of Omicron was known. We're very far from being out of the woods, said Dr. Bruce Vanderhoff, the director of the Ohio Department of Health, who told you in Wisconsin, Governor Tony Evers said on Thursday that the National Guard members would train as nursing assistants and then deploy to short-staffed nursing homes. In Omaha, where the Nebraska Attorney General sued the county health director over a new mask mandate, a major hospital said it was activating a crisis plan that would limit appointments and reschedule surgeries because of surging caseloads. And at a small hospital in Canton, South Dakota, officials said four of the eight nurses who would usually be treating patients on the floor were out with the virus at one point last week. What we're bracing for right now is really doing everything we can to avoid a workforce shortage, said Dr. Jeremy Caldwell, the chief physician for Sanford Health in the upper Midwest, where more than 400 employees across the hospital system were off work with the virus this week. Christina Ramirez, a biostatistician at the University of California, Los Angeles, said it was too early to tell where the United States was in its surge. Omicron passed through and peaked in South Africa in about a month, but countries like Denmark and Germany look more like a jagged sawtooth, she said. You get a couple days where it goes down, goes back up, and then goes back down. We've been fooled by the virus before, Dr. Ramirez said. The next couple of weeks will be very telling. And we're going to go over to the Hartford Courant. I'm going to read this story that accompanies the picture that I described at the top of the broadcast, with a picture of Attorney General William Tong and the Consumer Protection Commissioner, Michelle Siegel. Here is the story. For a nearly $2 billion settlement with student loan company Navient, it will bring cash payments to thousands of borrowers from Connecticut and across the country, Attorney General William Tong said Thursday. In Connecticut, 1,339 student borrowers will receive $19 million in direct private loan debt relief. Additionally, 4,875 student borrowers will receive nearly $1.3 million in restitution. Under the settlement negotiated by Tong and 38 other attorneys general, Connecticut will also receive $141,240 to be deposited into the general fund. Navient steered borrowers to costly payment plans and away from reasonable and affordable options and programs. There are predatory loans left thousands of Connecticut families saddled with unaffordable debt. This settlement will send millions of dollars directly to thousands of Connecticut borrowers who were deceived by Navient's abusive practices, Tong said. The coalition attorneys general claim that since 2009, Navient steered student loan borrowers away from affordable income-driven repayment plans and into risky loan forbearances, which further buried struggling borrowers under long-term debt accrual. Navient will also be forced to divest from the federally guaranteed student loan business under the agreement, which still requires court approval. In a news release, Navient denied violating any laws or causing any, quote, borrower harm. The company's decision to resolve these matters, which was based on unfounded claims, allows us to avoid the additional burden, expense, time, and distraction to prevail in court, said Navient's chief legal officer, Mark Helene. Navient is and has been continually focused on helping student loan borrowers understand and select the right payment options to fit their needs. In fact, we've driven up income driven repayment plan enrollment and driven down default rates, and every year hundreds of thousands of borrowers we support successfully pay off their student loans. Navient will cancel loan balances of approximately 66,000 borrowers in the U.S. with certain qualifying private education loans that were originated largely between 2002 and 2010 and later defaulted and charged off. Navient will notify the affected borrowers and co-borrowers shortly after the agreements receive final court approvals. The settlement resolves allegations of widespread unfair and deceptive student loan servicing practices and abuses in originating predatory student loans. Borrowers do not have to take any action in order to receive the relief payments as long as they have an updated account with studentaid.gov. Those who may be eligible can visit NaviaTagSettlement.com for more details. And we're going to go to the front page again for the next story of today. This is about the coronavirus in Connecticut. Connecticut recorded 161 additional COVID-19 deaths on Thursday, the largest weekly increase in COVID-19 deaths in Connecticut since last February. This came as the daily COVID-19 test positivity rate dropped to its lowest point since December on Thursday, while the state recorded its first single-day decline in hospitalizations since mid-December. Medical experts in the state have said they expect COVID-19 cases to peak in the coming weeks or even as early as this weekend, with hospitalizations soon to follow. This week, while Connecticut continues to record high levels of COVID-19 cases and hospitalizations, the rate of increase started to slow before declining on Thursday. We are hopefully near the peak right now, Hartford Healthcare Chief Clinical Officer Dr. A.J. Kumar said. We continue to have a fair amount of capacity across the state. Dr. Ulysses Wu, Chief Epidemiologist at Hartford Healthcare, has predicted that Connecticut's COVID-19 cases will peak on Saturday and hospitalizations about a week later. if you look at it, like we're riding a roller coaster, we're maybe nearly at the top at this point for at least this curve, he said Thursday. Now, here are the categories that are covered every day. First, cases and positivity rate. Connecticut on Thursday reported 9,604 new COVID-19 cases out of 47,380 tests for a daily positivity rate of 20.27%. The state's seven-day positivity rate now stands at 22.96%, a decrease from earlier this week. Of the state's 169 municipalities, 168 continue to record at least 15 daily COVID-19 cases per 100,000 residents, according to numbers released on Thursday. Connecticut has now averaged 9,308 daily COVID-19 cases over the past week, a slight increase from Wednesday, but an overall decline from earlier in the week. Unvaccinated residents have been about three times as likely to test positive in recent weeks as vaccinated residents, according to state numbers. All eight Connecticut counties, along with nearly the entire rest of the country, are recording high levels of COVID-19 transmission as defined by the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. With this level of transmission, CDC advises people to wear a mask in public indoor settings. The next category is hospitalizations. Connecticut had 1,917 patients hospitalized with COVID-19 on Thursday, a decrease of 22 patients since Wednesday. Hospital officials say some of those patients were admitted for non-coronavirus reasons before testing positive upon arrival, but that the majority have significant COVID-19 symptoms. The decrease in hospitalizations across the state Thursday brought Connecticut slightly further away from reaching its record of 1,972 hospitalizations set on April 22, 2020. According to the state, 67.2% of people hospitalized with COVID-19 are unvaccinated. Hospital officials say the rate is significantly higher when considering only patients with severe symptoms. Deaths. Connecticut reported 161 additional COVID-19 deaths on Thursday, bringing its total during the pandemic to 9,442. The United States has now recorded 845,707 COVID-19 deaths, according to the Coronavirus Resource Center at Johns Hopkins University. Finally, vaccinations. As of Wednesday, 90.5% of all Connecticut residents and 95% of those 12 and older had received at least one COVID-19 vaccine dose, while 75.5% of all residents and 84.1% of those 12 and older were fully vaccinated, according to the CDC. Additionally, about 46.7% of fully vaccinated Connecticut residents 18 or older have received a booster dose. As of Wednesday, of the 2,540,829 Connecticut residents who are fully vaccinated, 4.53% have contracted COVID-19, according to state data. Of that group, 355 fully vaccinated people have died of the virus, the vast majority, 70% of whom were residents at least 75 years old or older. The CDC warns that booster shots are sometimes misclassified as first doses, likely inflating the reported number of first dose coverage and understating the true number of people who have received boosters. And we're going to go back to the front page of The Current for this next story. A seventh grader at a Hartford school is in grave condition after ingesting a substance believed to be fentanyl and collapsing during gym class Thursday morning, Mayor Luke Bronin said. Two other seventh graders were believed to be exposed to the drug and were also transported to the hospital, officials said. All of our hearts and prayers are with the child who remains hospitalized in grave condition and with his loved ones, Mayor Luke Bronin said. This is one more lesson that fentanyl is a poison. These drugs are a poison. And please, if you're a parent, have that tough conversation with your child tonight, Bronin added. The overdose that happened about 10:30 a.m. at the Sport and Medical Sciences Academy, officials said. The boy collapsed in gym class and was unresponsive. A school nurse initiated CPR until fire department personnel arrived and took over, District Fire Chief Mario Oquendo Jr. said. Firefighters were relieved by medics, after which rhythm returned for that student and CPR was stopped, he said. When staff learned that the boy had ingested drugs, Staff sought out and found the other two boys who had been with him earlier, officials said. Officials said that the other two students who never lost consciousness were together in a classroom in a different part of the school at the time the boy collapsed. The two other boys, who are between the ages of 12 and 13, are also in seventh grade, said Dr. Leslie Torres Rodriguez, superintendent of Hartford Schools. All three students were taken to Connecticut Children's. I want to extend my heart to the seventh grader, his entire family, and the other two students that were involved, and to the entire school community at Sport and Medical Scientists Academy. Torres Rodriguez said this has been and continues to be a really hard day for all of us. Hartford Schools crisis developed earlier to provide counseling and other resources to students, she said. The overdose triggered a code yellow alert, which means students and staff had to stay put while the boys were put into